He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's 1-11-21, January the 11th. We're in our second week of trading. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, I guess the silver lining is we were down a lot more in the futures, and we had a big plunge at the open, but the market has actually recovered about half, maybe even a little more, of its initial plunge. The NASDAQ, for instance, was down 200 just a few moments ago. Now it's only down 100, so it's cut its loss in half. It's at 13,100. That's where the NASDAQ is. The Dow is down 137. A lot of that is Boeing. You know, Boeing had another 737 go down over the weekend. And, of course, Boeing is a big part of the Dow. Dow down 137, 30,960. The S&P is above 3,800 still. It's down 21, however, today, 0.5% to 38.03. Russell 2000 small caps, they're down. It looks like kind of a risk-off day, too. We'll get to Bitcoin here in a minute. Crude oil's down 60 cents right now to $51.64. Gold, okay, the other side of the street today. It's up 360 per ounce, 18.39. Silver's up 28 cents, 24.92. We may see some political turmoil slash theater this week after last week's dramatic scenes from the Capitol building. 10-year bond, 1.13. Interest rates continue to move higher here as inflation fears starting to kick up. The big loser today, Bitcoin. Bitcoin's down $1,800 per coin, but it's at $33,494. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, this promises to be another week full of events, and, you know, cross currents, global news, news out of Washington, D.C., where we may see some turmoil, continued turmoil, or theater, political theater there after the Capitol building breached last week. There's supposedly going to be impeachment papers drawn up against the sitting president. And, of course, you've got an inauguration just 9 days away. In addition to that, this is the kickoff. There it goes. We just kicked the ball into the end zone of earnings season. In fact, later this week, we'll get earnings from the big banks, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, the big guys. They'll be reporting on the fourth quarter of 2020. Okay, that ended on December 31st, New Year's Eve of last year. And they've been counting the beans, and they'll have some beans to report. Did they beat? Did more beans come in than went out? That's a big thing. And how did those beans add up to the expectations? That's always the key to it all. Where were the expectations and what was the actual results? Well, we ended last week on a pretty good note. On Thursday, for instance, we had new highs across the board as calm kind of returned to the markets. You saw the Dow breached 31,000 for the first time in its history. We saw the NASDAQ break above 13,000 for the first time in its history. We saw the S&P 500 go above 3,800 for the first time in its history. We saw Bitcoin just blasting off, Tesla trading like there's no tomorrow. One of the biggest bubbles I've ever seen in any individual stock has got to be Tesla. I'm certainly not going to short it. I'm not going to get in the way of that speeding Model Y going down the fast lane, just running over and mowing down short sellers as it goes, wiping out billions of dollars in short seller money with Elon Musk at the wheel, laughing all the way to the bank, richest man in the world now, okay? We'll see how long that lasts. I think Tesla is going to be due for a big valuation correction at some point in time. I just can't tell you when. Bitcoin's seeing a bit of a correction here over the weekend. I think there was one day when it was down about 20% or something like that. Bitcoin see trades. I guess it trades every day. I don't know. Does it trade 24/7? I suppose it does. But Bitcoin, which ended last week at 38,000, Bitcoin right now at about 33,000. So it has come off quite a bit. As I said, we did end the week despite all of the political turmoil that we saw last week. And, of course, pictures all over TV and the Internet of people inside the Capitol building, the Senate, the Congress. I've actually been there. I was in high school at the time. And the day I visited, it was the Senate that I saw. They were in session. I got to sit up in the bleachers up above. I don't know if they're still there. Maybe they've changed the way it's configured. But I was got to see them debating the Watergate issue, which obviously was a big deal in America's history. We have, as I said, we'll have earnings season this week. I published my macro outlook on the market. I have two macro outlooks on the market right now. They're in my newsletter. It depends on where fiscal policy goes from here, and that will have an impact on earnings. I'm just a guy that does I do earnings-based valuations on the market. Earnings have been going up for the last 12 years until this year. No, yep, we had COVID bring an end to that growth in earnings, but hopefully that's a one-off. Earnings will continue to grow next year, but you have the very high probability of a tax hike on corporate America, and that could hit earnings and impact the S&P 500. So we kind of have to be on high alert right now. At the same time, the market definitely has a valuation problem. Valuation Anonymous, I guess the market needs to go to. I won't trade at 23 times. It's trading at one of the highest forward multiples that I've seen since the year 2000. Now, we haven't reached the numbers that we saw in 2000, but there's certainly a lot of areas of the market, inside the market, that have reached the levels, the frothiness levels of the year 2000. Global stocks overnight, Japan was the big winner, up 2.4%. China was down 1.1%, while Europe continues to see an increase in coronavirus cases, even with them being locked down. I don't know if locking down seems to help. I mean, California's locked down, and they continue to see an explosion, so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Get the vaccine out as fast as possible. And speaking of the vaccine, both Pfizer and Moderna said they can deal with the mutating of the virus. They can handle that and have tweaks in their vaccine in a matter of weeks if it should mutate outside of the current vaccines capabilities. Asia Pacific shares mixed. China PPI fell 0.4% in December. That was kind of a surprise, and that's one of the reasons why you're seeing China down. China has started to break out again, however. I showed that in the newsletter over the weekend. In fact, you've got the Dow breaking out. This is as of Friday. You had the S&P breaking out. You had the NASDAQ breaking out to new highs, the Russell 2000 all-time highs, and you had the emerging markets breaking out to new highs. And, of course, you had Bitcoin just in a parabolic move at the current time. like one of those jets taking off, fighter jets that just all of a sudden, to infinity and beyond, it would seem. The weakness last week in the market was the bond market. In fact, the bond market has now broken its first level of support. You know, I don't see a big jump in interest rates here all of a sudden, but breaching of 1%, which it did, that's a pretty big, significant technical event. And if you look at the chart of AGG, which is just a bond ETF, aggregate bond ETF, you'll see that it broke down last week through long time support. So we're going to watch that bond market very, very closely. Now, when we come back, what about the social media stocks here, Twitter and Facebook, and, of course, Amazon with their servers and everything? A little bit of controversy going on there. And Twitter's getting clobbered today. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Wow, we just went positive for the day here at our firm. I don't know about your firm. The Dow's down 137. The NASDAQ is down 100. But, boy, I see some real strength here in the chips. We're in the chips. Semiconductor stocks doing very well. Stocks out of Taiwan doing very, very well. It's a semiconductor rally. It's a chip rally in the midst of a market sell-off. So we'll celebrate that for now and see where we end the day. Well, the tech roundup, free speech, WhatsApp exodus, and Twitter purge. The weekend began with Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, permanently banning and silencing President Trump. But the actions quickly spread across the communication and tech space. The top app stores from Apple and Google, of course, they have the Apple iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, as well as Amazon's web hosting service, kicked out Parler. Parler is a competitor to Twitter. It's a free speech platform that has grown in popularity among conservatives, to which many banned users were expected to emigrate. Well, it's going to be hard to operate when you're not on the Apple Store, you're not on the in the Google Play Store, and Amazon's big web hosting machines won't host your website. So we'll see where this all goes. Why are the tech companies taking action now? The firm cite risk of violence and repeated and severe violations of their policies following the storming of Capitol Hill. While the measures taken are legal, private firms aren't subject to the First Amendment. They highlight how more starkly than ever the company's influence over public speech and online conversations. Well, what do you think? Many of the big tech giants own the keys to the pipes and the plumbing of the Internet. They can shut you down, in other words, and without those services, many users may be forced to find alternative providers. Well, you know what? I mean, I've been predicting this for quite some time. I mean, they've become so powerful and such big monopolies. I mean, I foresee the day when, hey, you won't be able to buy stuff on Amazon unless, you know, whatever the app that unless is. When these companies have become so big and so powerful and along the way squished all the competition, where are you going to turn? Well, anyways, millions of users have jumped ship to Telegram and Signal in the past week, according to data analytics firm Sensor Tower. Well, let's just look in on Twitter here today. Last time I looked, it was selling off by quite a bit. Twitter is down 6% right now. Over at Amazon is flat. No, down 1.4%. Facebook's got to be really getting hit today. Yeah, that's an ugly chart on Facebook. Not pretty at all. It's down 2.8%. All right, let's see what else we got going on. Twitter stock set to open in correction territory after Trump ban. It has. Corporate America reconsiders political funding after storming of U.S. Capitol. Hotel giant Marriott. Commerce Bank shares and the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, which includes Anthem and Triple S Management, are suspending donations to U.S. lawmakers who voted last week against certifying President-elect Joe Biden's victory. We have taken the destructive events at the Capitol to undermine legitimate and fair elections into consideration and will be pausing political giving from our Political Action Committee. That's from Marriott. A spokesman for Boston Scientific further announced the medical device makers temporarily suspending its PAC, Political Action Committee's activity for an unknown period of time given the recent violence and polarized political environment. J.P. Morgan is pausing all contributions. Citigroup. Walmart said it will conduct a review over the coming months. We will factor last week's events into our process. All right. How about out there on the global news? China. U.S. banks drop sanctioned Chinese companies under new Trump rules. The China crackdown, it's extending on Wall Street. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley said they will delist 500, not stocks, but structured products, which are linked to China Mobile, China Telecom, China Unicom. There's a lot of these structured products out there in the marketplace. Goldman Sachs is a big purveyor of structured products, but they're going to delist 500 Hong Kong-listed structured products. So the Cold War against China continues. Global index provider MSCI, Russell and S&P Dow Jones indices also said they will cut three Chinese telco giants from their benchmarks. Well, it's those three telecom companies. In the meantime, as I said, I mean, as I looked at the Chinese ETFs last week, they had a big week. They actually were breaking out to new all-time highs, along with the emerging markets, which seem to be there seems to be some rotation out of big tech. And you say, well, where's that money going? Well, it's not going to the bond market, I can tell you that. It seems to be going overseas, where, you know, maybe there's less political turmoil in China than there is here. I don't know. But I think there is a thought that, you know, don't forget money also flows where the taxes are best for corporations. And you may be seeing some outflow out of U.S., which is going to more than likely get a corporate tax hike, into countries where there's lower taxes on corporate, just like people across America. They're moving to states with lower tax rates. You can't believe how many New York license plates I saw over the weekend right here in South Carolina. All right, okay, and of course it's still unclear how President-elect Joe Biden will handle financial flows and relations with China. I don't see him slapping tariffs on China myself. I see him being easier. For better or for worse, I see Biden being easier on China, and that's bullish for Chinese stocks. Okay, we've got the COVID-19. We need to get that thing behind us. Will that thing ever be behind us? I don't know, but it's getting those vaccines out that seems to be the bottleneck right now. Nearly $170 billion was wiped off of the cryptocurrency market in 24 hours. Easy come, easy go, as Bitcoin dropped 20% after a huge rally and some profit taking from investors. Do you know that it hit an all-time high last week of $42,000 per coin? Move over gold and silver, Here comes Bitcoin. Okay, a lot of individual stocks in the news when we come back. Dow down 84 right now. It's coming back. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, the market's improved considerably here. The Dow is now down 77. It's above 31,000 again. There's big news out of Eli Lilly, LLY. It's up 11.8% on breaking news of a Alzheimer's drug candidate that's showing some very good promise. Now, on the other hand, you got Boeing. After that 737 crash, can you believe that? I mean, they just got those things back in the air, and you had a plane go down shortly after takeoff in Malaysia. Boeing's down 1.6%. Of course, we can't blame Boeing yet, but it is a 737 MAX again that plunged into the ocean. It sounds eerily familiar. All right, we got a lot of individual stocks in the news here today. Remember CES, how big of a deal that was in Las Vegas? Boy, that was the big deal, the Consumer Electronics Show. Well, it's all now virtual, and the cost to exhibit there's gone clear down to $1,200. It's not what it used to be, and of course COVID has really hurt it. But there's obviously some news coming out of there. I'm seeing a lot of the chip stocks really flying here right now. We're starting to surge here in our holdings, led by many of our semiconductor holdings. There is one deal today. NCR, National Cash Register, is buying Cardtronics. Cardtronics. We have some other companies in the news. There's another big biotech mover here today. Mesoblast, M-E-S-O. M-E-S-O is up 40% today. That's an Australian company. You know, it's shown up a few times on my A-plus momentum screens, M-E-S-O. They announced additional results from the DREAM-HF Phase 3 trial in 537 treated patients with chronic heart failure with reduced left ventricular ejection fraction who received their drug. A single dose resulted in a substantial and durable reduction in heart attacks, strokes, and cardiac deaths. Well, that stock moving big time today, up 39% now. Another one, B-O Nano, B-N-G-O, not B-I-N-G-O, Bingo was his name. Biano Genomics is up 20% today as they are starting to figure out, they're identifying the structural variants which may provide insights into the pathogenesis of COVID-19. The study found that optical genome mapping with Bionano's SAFER system identified structural variants that affect genes and pathways that control immune and inflammatory response, viral reproduction, and mucosal function. Well, that stock is having a good day as we try to keep tabs on this mutating virus called Corona. We've also got Lordstown Motors having a good day. You know, that's one I'm interested in. I haven't bought the stock, but, you know, they have all of those pre-orders for their electric truck. And, of course, it's kind of a success story. They took over an abandoned General Motors plant in Lordstown, Ohio, and they're going to build the all-electric trucks there. They now have 100,000 pre-orders, 100,000 pre-orders. Lordstown is up 5% today. They hit another milestone. Another company that seems to be getting into the EV space is Chinese company Baidu. You know, Baidu has been a very slow grower that was for many years the Chinese equivalent of Google here in the U.S. But now all of a sudden Baidu, of course, Google's into a lot of other things besides just search. Let's not forget that Google is heavily invested in autonomous electrical vehicles. Well, so is Baidu. Baidu has been on a B-I-D-U. It is down, but it was up. It broke out last week. Baidu skyrockets to its highest level. That was on Friday, in 2.5 years after Mizuho reiterates its buy rating and raises its target price to 250. Well, the stock's at 230. But China's policy support of autonomous driving could unlock the value of Baidu's autonomous driving business, given the company's category leadership. Well, we'll see. But there's also other news on Baidu. They confirm a tie-up with Geely. That's a Chinese car builder. And, of course, we have exposure to Geely here in South Carolina. Geely owns Volvo. And all the Volvos will be built here in South Carolina before too long. They're building a giant city. About a half an hour, 45 minutes from us, where Geely will be building Volvo cars, all electric, and it looks like Baidu will partner with them with the intelligent part of it. That's the autonomous driving part. So Baidu having a good day. Well, now you go to the other side of the street. Vacation ownership sales down 52%. Yeah, timeshares. This is not really a good time for timeshares. Wyndham Destinations. Sales down 51.8% in Q4. This is interesting if you're an NFL fan and you've seen the kind of the epidemic there of concussions. Abbott Labs gets FDA nod for handheld concussion blood test. Now, I own Abbott Labs in my dividend and growth portfolio. It's been a pretty good holding for us. Abbott has received 510 clearance from the FDA for its handheld blood test evaluating mild traumatic brain injuries. The test simultaneously measures biomarker proteins found in the blood after a concussion or head trauma. The test run on their handheld iStat Alinity platform results will be available within 15 minutes. After play, well, I can see high school football teams, NFL teams, soccer. This could be a nice breakthrough. Another one for Abbott Labs, who also, last I remember, they had the fastest COVID test out there. The genomics companies, Editas, E-D-I-T, they're going to get a go-ahead for early-stage gene editing therapy in sickle cell disease. You know, they seem to be making a lot of progress on that. And EDIT, which could edit your genes in a test tube, it's down 14.6% today, but that is good news. Piedmont Lithium, you know what? The the commodity stocks, I don't know what's going to happen this week. I haven't had a chance to look at a lot of them. I think they've probably cooled off a little bit today. But, man, were they on fire. It, just got to think, with all of the commodity stocks breaking out, I don't care if it was Freeport-McMoRan copper, if it was aluminum, Alcoa, if it was U.S. Steel, X, if it was the lithium stocks were lit. In fact, there's an ETF called LIT, L-I-T, of the lithium stocks. What a huge week they had last week. And with the bond market kind of breaking down, you got to think that the market is at least starting to think about or weigh in the possibilities. I also saw big breakouts in corn, soybeans, wheat last week. They also have ETFs that track that. Got to be thinking that maybe the market's seeing a little bit of inflation out there on the horizon. Lululemon updates guidance. I don't own Lululemon anymore. You know, they just can't seem to, Peloton seems to be the one to own in that exercise space. I do not own Peloton, but Lululemon gave guidance that was a little bit soft here. Lululemon actually has turned around, is now up 1.5%. We're seeing quite a turnaround here in some areas of the market. Salesforce dips after Piper downgrade. I had somebody ask me about Salesforce last week. I said, I don't like it. I know, it just got added to the Dow. I know. And it's in a good space. But I don't like the chart, and I don't like the valuation on CRM right now. When we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day.
You got to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We've got the Dow down 137 right now. A lot of that's Boeing. Lilly, on the other hand, is busting loose right now on their Alzheimer news. And the NASDAQ now is down 111. But there are some winners there in the NASDAQ, particularly amongst the semiconductor chip stocks. I think I'm going to feature, you know, as I look through the stock charts in the newsletter, every week I go through all of the major asset classes from the S&P 500 to the Dow to the NASDAQ to the emerging markets to China to Europe to Bitcoin to the bond market to gold, etc., the dollar. Yeah, about 12 charts or so, which I think it's really important to know at any given time what those charts look like. And the vast majority of the charts that I looked at last week were breaking out to new all-time highs. The Dow broke out to new all-time highs. The NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, the emerging markets. And, of course, Bitcoin, which was the most powerful chart of all, it has been for quite some time. But China also has got a good chart going on right now. A lot of renewed activity there. I think that, as I've said before, I think that the Biden administration will probably go easier on China, and that could be bullish. They continue to be one of the fastest-growing economies. You may not like them. You may not like their practices. My job is to make money for my clients and look for growth and look for best stocks now wherever I find them. And I continue to find several stocks, not Alibaba, no, the tide turned there, but I continue to find several stocks, Chinese stocks that fit my best stocks now criteria. One of those continues to be NIO. NIO gets a little bit of credibility here today. They're partnering with NVIDIA. And NVIDIA also gets a boost here today. We own both of these stocks. NVIDIA is having a very good day. NIO says it will use NVIDIA's Drive Orin system on a chip for its new generation of electric and autonomous vehicles. So you see all these linking up of companies. Baidu, linked with a company for the autonomous part. Well, Geely linked with Baidu. Others are linking with, LiDAR, some of those. Of course, Intel owns a big autonomous chip. There's Foresight Autonomous out there. Well, NIO says it will use NVIDIA's chips for their autonomous vehicles. And NEO has also, they did a weekend event. They introduced a more powerful 150 kilowatt hour battery pack. They're going to introduce their new luxury E27 sedan. They did that over the weekend. The E27 will cost between $70,000 and $85,000, depending on the configuration, and it will be available in early 2022. Well, NIO stock, NIO, is up 1,638% over the last 12 months. Yes, it's one of the biggest winners in the entire market. You go back 1 year ago today, January 11th, 2020, NIO was basically an unknown little electric car company out of China, trading at $3.50 per share. Today, NIO is a $63 stock, and it's all of a sudden $176 billion in market cap. It's going to be a significant player in the electric vehicle market. Now, having said that, we own this in our most speculative, aggressive, our double A baseball team, you know, our minor leagues, but where our best prospects are. Boy, that portfolio is just flying right now. That emerging growth portfolio. It is out of the gate very, very quickly here in 2021 after having a very good year in 2020. And NIO is, that's the portfolio where we own a 4% stake, or 4% of the portfolio is invested in NIO, N-I-O. And I found it, obviously, using my Best Stocks Now app. I had never heard of the stock. It went public just as recently as 2018. It got down to $1 a share last year, and it's been blasting off really since the spring, since about June, May, June area of last year when it started to break out, catching my attention along the way. How have we done with our NIO position so far? NIO, since we bought it on September of last year. It's now a triple, more than a triple, about 240% is the gain in NIO since we bought it. So we're real happy with that position in that emerging growth portfolio, which is closing in as a portfolio on a double overall since I started the portfolio back in April of 2019. There's some exciting stocks in there. We've got one that's up 450%, one that's up 230%, another one that's up 232%, and, of course, NIO is up 217%. There's just 18 stocks in that portfolio overall. Of course, we list all of our losers, too. You got to look at the overall portfolio, which you can do. What do we currently own in our AA portfolio, the emerging growth portfolio? Well, I published it Saturday. It hit a new all-time high. It's well ahead of the market so far this year. We're only 11 days into the year. I got to believe we're having another good day in that portfolio today. Now, that's not for the faint of heart. That's our most aggressive portfolio. On the other side of the spectrum, we've got the bond portfolio and the dividend and growth portfolio and the large cap portfolio. This tends to be more small cap stocks, sometimes even some micro caps. Sprinkled in. Anyways, take a look at our newsletter from last week. Pretty impressive, those portfolios that we manage here. Maybe there's a fit for you in there somewhere. You can go to GundersonCapital.com, and if you're just ready to talk to us, I'm ready. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.